Shalom, this is Faith, Fear, and Freedom. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. We're going to read some key passages out of the book of Isaiah. First of all, Yeshayahu chapter 29. Some of the verses that I've underlined over the years that are especially meaningful. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore Yahweh said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. One of the reasons I picked this passage out is there's so many conspiracy theories lately around the internet and person to person. People talk about these internment camps, about the boxcars, the giant guillotines in Texas. I'm going to have some built here in my hometown that will be giant guillotine eaters. The machine will come along and glomp up the guillotine machines from Texas, you know. Well, anyway, there's conspiracy theories, the black helicopters, the lack of the color black, and now they're coloring them different colors and all that. And some of this may or may not be true. I don't know. I don't really put that much faith into all of our fears. Even if we were to see some of these giant internment camps, and confirm it in every way possible, it still doesn't mean anything compared to what Yahweh's word is. Yahweh brings us faith, real faith, real belief in him, and not just faith out of thin air. We're going to define where faith really comes from. We're reading in Isaiah 29:18, And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of the obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in Yahweh, and poor among men shall rejoice in the pure one of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Skipping to 23, But when he seeth his children, and some people have a problem with skipping, but it's up to you to read the rest. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall set apart my name, and set apart the pure one of Jacob, and shall fear Yahweh of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Mitzrayim, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of a man, of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That was in Isaiah 30, verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the Torah of Yahweh. It doesn't say the Torah of Moses, even though they are interchangeable in this respect, the law of Moses, the law that Yahweh gave to Moses. Here it says the law of Yahweh, or in modern versions, L-O-R-D. We don't use that L-O-R-D. Which say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. I searched around for a preacher on the Sabbath day, trying to find somebody who could really give me encouragement and some real meat of the word, some conviction. As I said, encouragement, encouraged to do right in Yahweh's word, but I could only find one, and that was Hezekiah. But most of the others were sort of watering the word down. They didn't really get with it, you know. They didn't mesh that gear into second and third, into passing gear like I wanted to. I wanted to really get some good study, get my teeth into something, but I really couldn't find it, and that's often the case. Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as ensign on a hill. Therefore will Yahweh wait that he may be favorable unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell... See, this is all future. This is prophecy. It's all future. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall weep no more. He will be very favorable unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And verse 28, that's Isaiah 30, 28, and the last part of that verse, There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song, as in the night when a pure solemnity is kept. We'll be reading more from Isaiah later on. I love Isaiah and Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, and Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah, Yeshayahu in Hebrew. What about faith, though? In Romans chapter 14, there's a lot of verses, there's a lot of scriptures, especially in the newer scriptures here, about faith. Romans 14, 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we need to have faith then. Why do we not have it? We don't want to sin, so we need faith. But what exactly is faith? Well, of course, we all know that, most of us know anyway, in Hebrews chapter 11, what that says there. Now, Hebrews 11, 1, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've often asked in our years past when we used to go to charismatic churches, what is faith? And they'd always point and quote that scripture there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's a really good verse. But does it actually define what is faith? You know, what? How do we get it? Does it just come out of thin air? Do I ask of Yahweh, and he just gives me this word every time? And then somebody else asks him, and then they seemingly that Yahweh gives them an entirely different contradictory word. It's not even the same thing that he told me. It's in opposition to what he told me. That can't be right. Is that true faith from Yahweh? Well, of course, some of you are already knowing. You know the answer to that, but we're going to go deeper than that for those of you who already know. And the answer is actually Romans 10:17. But we read Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Then you have 1 Corinthians 16. Watch you stand fast in the faith. What faith? Well, it would be a stand fast in the creed, in the belief. Stand fast in what Yahweh has given us. Not out of thin air, but don't give it away. Well, okay, I will. But from the Word, that's where our faith came from. Okay, I let it out of the bag. 1 Timothy 4:1. Some shall depart from the faith. They'll depart from Yahweh's Word. They'll depart from Yahweh's people in the last days. Also in Ephesians 5:12. They have cast off their first faith. Not the first things that they believed foolishly, but their first faith that was given to them truly, the zealous, pure, correct word of faith. You know, the word harmonizes with itself. It interprets itself. If we can't understand a certain thing, then we just look up all the other scriptures having to do with that same thing or that same subject, and we find out the answer. Well, some things we'll never find out, though, until we get face to face with Yahweh. There's some questions out there. Should we leave the lights on in the Sabbath day, or, you know, unplug this or that, unplug the heat and the refrigerator and so on? Well, some people say that we should. Now we ought to look into that. Should we wear linen? Okay. All right. And Ephesians, if I'm correct, I think I've I may have told you the wrong verse there that we just read. That was 1 Timothy 5:12. They have cast off their first faith. Then 6:12 of Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on it, on the good fight of faith. I'm reading here from Strong's Concordance, just kind of eyeballing down here through some of the scriptures talking about faith from the Concordance. Here's one from 2 Timothy 4:7. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What is this? Hebrews 11:1. Without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. Oh, I love that verse. Hebrews 11:1. So, it is impossible to please Yahweh without faith, but with faith, with the word, what's the conclusion to this verse? Then it must be that it is possible to please Him. Because if it isn't possible to please Him if we don't have faith, then it must be possible to please Him if we do have it. We need to have faith. Hebrews 11:28, through faith He kept the Passover. Hebrews 12:2, the author and speaking of Yahusha the Messiah, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Speaking of finishing things, we hear the end of the law, you know, how about the end of your faith? First Peter, I think it's 1:9. Somebody put a mark here, but it should be 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith. Yes, the goal, the reality of our faith. James 1:9. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. James 2:5. James says in James 2:18, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That chapter is just as much a part of Yahweh's word and as credible as is any chapter and any book, any verse in Yahweh's word. Of course, the book of James is part of Yahweh's word. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Oh, speaking of those saints there in the future, the saints of Yahweh, who will be who have the faith of Yahusha the Messiah. All beautiful excerpts there from the Word of Yahweh. Speaking of faith, but let's see if I have if there's anything I haven't read yet from, about faith here that I had intended. No, I think we can go right now to it, to the text. Romans 10:16. We're going to start at 10:10 there. As I bump the microphone clumsily there. And try to speak perfectly. 10:16. Where are we at here now? Okay. But they have not all obeyed the evangel, gospel. For Isaiah saith, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. So that's the definition of faith right there. Faith is the word, properly interpreted, and interprets itself. The harmony of the evangels, the harmony of the scriptures interprets itself. The scriptures, or some say the Bible, we don't use that word, but the scriptures interpret themselves by reading everything on a particular subject. Faith comes by hearing or studying. You know, hearing the word, hearing it being extrapolated or taught about, and studying in your private study. And hearing comes by the word of Yahweh. So it's not a thing out of thin air. Faith is a thing that we hear, and that we read, and that we study, and that we contemplate on. We dwell on those scriptures. We think about them and mull them over in our mind. We cogitate, or all the other adjectives and so on. That's a little word there about faith that I thought that might encourage you today, that some are still thinking that we can just ask Yahweh what a certain thing is or isn't, and then out of thin air that He'll just tell us. If we were a prophet, that might work. If we were one of the Old Testament prophets, the Old Covenant prophets there in those times, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Brit Kadashah, perhaps we could just ask Yahweh, and out of thin air, His Spirit would just speak to us. And some still think they have that gift. You know, they may or may not, but I really can't trust in their gift that they think that they have or they believe they have. That's may be all fine and good, but I don't know for sure about that, okay? So it, somebody said to that the Sabbath came on a different day, and without giving any reference at all, he just said, ask Yahweh, and he'll tell you. You know, don't look it up in the scriptures, in historical documents. Don't search on the internet. Just say, Yahweh, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Now I'm standing here, now you tell me, please. Okay, I beg you, I'm bowing on my knees humbly, please tell me. Well, Yahweh doesn't communicate with us. He doesn't have that kind of a relationship with us today. Well, He might have with someone out there, but I hope that it's that whatever He tells you or that some person that it's the same thing, the exact same thing as what the Scriptures say, what the Word, what faith, what the Word of Yahweh says. Faith does not come out of thin air, but faith is Yahweh's Word. That sums it all up. Sums it all up right there. When we're in such a culture of flux, even the churches are changing, at least not all of them. There's some really great preachers out there that I've even recommended a couple, or at least some of their studies, or at least part of some of their studies. I've recommended a lot of that, and I'm not perfect. So, you know, nobody has all the truth all the time, but there's a fluxing going on out there. They're changing in the last, thousands and thousands of years. Of course, they're changing, sometimes for the better, but in the recent times here, they've changed on the doctrine of divorce and remarriage. When, in my lifetime, most churches said that it was not permissible to get a divorce. They might say for very, very, very few reasons. But now, the greater percentage of them, of those churches and those preachers, are saying that it's okay. So there's a, you know, and then they refer to the Ten Commandments as just a bunch of rules because they don't have Yahweh's law written in their heart. Or maybe they don't anyway. I can't judge for sure. And, you know, we got to have that love. We got to have that relationship with Yahweh to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, we won't think of Yahweh's Torah or any part of His Word as just being a bunch of rules. Just a bunch of rules out there. You know, who needs them? You know, nothing needs a bunch of rules. A tree doesn't need a system of rules to know how to grow. No, Yahweh has put those characteristics, those rules, those regulations right into the whole earth, the constellation, the entire universe. He's done that when He created, when Yahusha the Messiah created the earth, He put those system of rules into effect. He put the gravity, and you can look up there right now and see all those stars. They don't fall. If you're at night, you can look out and see them, but the stars don't fall on us. We don't get smashed into the sun, and it doesn't come magnetically and smash the earth or anything like that. He put such an elliptical orbit. He's created man in such a way as to automatically heal himself by the miracle power that Yahweh put in us, in the blood and so on, corpuscles or whatever they are, those little things. And the foods we eat, the enzymes, the live food, not the dead food, out of cans or boxes, but the live food. The body can almost heal itself by the miraculous healing power that Yahweh has given us. When we get a cut, it is supposed to automatically heal itself, so to speak. It's actually Yahweh's power that did that in the first place. But looking around at the current events, that some of the society is decaying. We can look at our culture, at our music, and so on. In fact, I wanted to do that during this broadcast, but first of all, let's go to some more scriptures here. How about the Isaiah? We did some of Isaiah, but how about Isaiah 24,
I know I've read this before. Now let's go to Isaiah. Huh? You want to go to Romans first? If we're still in Romans, anybody still there? Romans 3:23, an often quoted scripture verse, and it's just as true today as it was 50 years ago when they first started emphasizing this one about the four spiritual laws. But it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the esteem of Yahweh," or here the modern version's glory, we don't use that, but "all have sinned and come short of the esteem of Yahweh." All have come short. None of us were, you know, perfect. When we were born, we just had that sinful nature and began doing things. Of course, people could say, well, I make up for my bad points by doing good things, but that doesn't work too well. I had a relative that when I was in the military, I was in the Navy before I was saved, that is, and went over to Japan and enjoyed the time over there in Adak in Japan. But my relative was out racing my Thunderbird, and he and his friend shifted it when it was going forward. They shifted it into reverse to see what would happen. It was an automatic, and then I guess it wrecked the trunnion bolt in there, in the transmission bands. So I had to pay for that, and then somehow he made up for me by giving me a set of snow tires. And I wasn't even living around the snow zone, but he felt that he was making up for his faults by making up for them by doing something else. But even if he had done the right thing and paid me the $50, $100, or a couple of $100 for the transmission, whatever relative amount, it wouldn't have been making up for a sin of stealing somebody's car. It wouldn't have made up for it, you know. He wouldn't apologize to me. Apologize to the Savior. Do proper restitution. Reimburse me for the amount of damage that was done to the vehicle, to the Thunderbird there that I had as a child. So we're going to Isaiah 20. No, we didn't. We did Romans. Yes, of course. We have to stay with Romans. We did Romans 14:23, that whatever is not of faith is sin. Let's see, there were all kinds of Roman scriptures. Okay, well, guess we can move on then. Let's move up to higher ground, to the 24th chapter of Isaiah. If you don't have your scriptures with you, if you're busy, if your hands are doing something else, brushing your teeth, that's okay. You need to get to work. You need to rise and shine and get on and get with the program there. And you like to listen to a good scripture program. We like to read the scripture verses because they don't get read enough. Even here, they don't. 24:5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. One more time, but more quickly. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So this is obviously a time yet to come. This is prophecy we're reading. The new wine mourns. The vine languishes. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceases. The noise of them that rejoice ends. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Now, every time I go to any city anymore, it's a kind of a city of cacophony, of confusion. The culture there, the beat is just out of syncopation. And, you know, I feel like I'm living in the ghetto, in the jungle. When I walk through even a Christian bookstore, I hear that jungle music. And there is a way to define whether it is or not. We could get to that maybe. City of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There's a crying for wine in the streets, for wine. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation. And the gate is smitten with destruction. So I guess we better be careful, huh? Worse times are coming. When thus it shall be, in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree.
and in the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of Yahweh. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore magnify Yahweh in the fires, even the name of Yahweh, the mighty one of Yisrael, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even esteem to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Who are the, is that car dealers or drug dealers? Or No. Well, yes, it would include most of them. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. I think it would just, that word dealer there probably refers to merchants in general who are dealing treacherously. Sometime in the corporations we have a lot of corruption going on. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon the inhabitant of the earth, and it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that comes up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, and the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Oh, no, this doesn't sound good at all. I'd get dizzy if it did that. The earth, but no, it's going to happen. And it should be encouraging to you. Yahweh says it's going to happen. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Well, this is because of our unrepented sins that we just, not necessarily you and I, but for the majority of society, committing these crazy offenses, like abortion, for example. They don't seem to care, even though millions of people have stood up against the unborn. It didn't make any difference, though. They just bypass all of our protesting and all of our teaching that it's wrong to do. And Isaiah 24:21, it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, Yahweh shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when Yahweh of the armies shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem before his ancients magnificently. There's a lot of symbolism there. But we get the idea anyway, don't we, that if we don't straighten up and fly right, that things are not going to go too well for us. Yeah, but we will be protected, though, if we're trusting in Yahweh, not in ourselves or in our own works, but if we trust in Yahweh to save us and to keep us saved, to keep us from sin, falling into temptation, to deliberate temptation, and not necessarily the inadvertent things that we do, but more of the deliberate sins. You know, we don't plan and make up our mind to sin, do we? Hopefully you don't do that. I'm pretty sure I don't. We need to keep examining ourselves, though. But hopefully we don't do those kind of sins. Because it shows that we don't love Yahweh, that we're not giving esteem to Him. We're not lifting Him up as we really do need to. That animals seem to know it. You know, They do what they are created to do, but the human beings were created to praise Yahweh, and human beings don't seem to, they seem to be the only species on earth that they don't do what they were created to do. So immorality abounds. We see a lot of spoiling, you know, just changing people for the worse sometimes, and culturally and morally speaking, scripturally speaking. The majority of people are being spoiled. Just walk into the grocery store and see what kind of videos and DVDs or, you know, those boxes up there on the shelf. What's for sale? What kind of pictures and images and titles are on that, the crazy media that's being portrayed out there on the, not only the internet, but the satellite and so on? I don't know how much of that I would like to have or see. maybe 1%, it's certainly not worth investing in buying it, or, you know, putting in a monthly fee for a cable to see that kind of trash, the scum, the slime, the scum, the trash out there. And it's all being foisted on us by the media, which is operated by a bunch of us, by a bunch of crazy, rebellious people from Northern Tribe, the Ten Tribes from Ephraim, that we just don't want to repent. We don't want to stop rebelling just because, what? Just because, oh, I need to satisfy flesh. I need to satisfy myself. And, you know, kick in a little bit of flesh here and there, a little bit of the world, and maybe it'll kick me into gear where I can operate the way that I think that I should. But no, we're not doing it Yahweh's way then. We're putting man on the throne instead of putting Yahweh on our throne. We need him to help change us and get us out of this corrupted pit here, slimy things just wiggling around and out there preaching that divorce and remarriage is okay. When what changed 60 years ago in the churches? Did Yahweh did Yahusha come back in 1950 or 60 something and tell us that his laws had changed about 60 years ago? And if divorce and remarriage is permissible, then how many partners am I allowed to have? How many wives can I have after I divorce my third one? Can I go ahead and have a ninth and a tenth or a twelfth wife and get rid of all the others because I found some uncleanness or disfavor in her, in them? What limit is there to all of this? Well, if it were up to the jellyfish churches, I don't think there'd be any limit to how many wives I could put away. And I could say, well, she committed adultery on me, so that forced me to commit adultery, and then that person and this person and he said, she said, and so on. But we need to go to that bunch of rules that Yahweh gave us, yes, that are in the Word from the book of the Genesis to the Revelation, and get filled with the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and start putting both feet down on the ground and just running for all we can for Yahweh. And that's easy for me to say, you know, but harder to do when we get out into society. Yes, I do know that. Now we're going into the next section, that we are motivated by fear, not fear of Yahweh, but fear of man. So we need to get out of that pattern. And would you like me to cut the file in half here and just have a, let me see how many megabytes we've got here. I don't know. About 6 megs? Or is a 12 meg file okay for you folks to download? You're not telling me. I'm only hearing from Mike there. I need to hear from you people what you want me to do as far as putting the programs together. Do you want a short one or long one or nothing at all or what? And my email address is stephanyah@yahweh.name. So I guess I'll continue. I haven't heard from anybody there. Well, I wasn't even looking, but anyway, drop me an email and tell me if half an hour files are better for you or hour long ones. Here we go to Malachi 4:2. Oh, we're still in those really, really great books. A lot of sensational things here. I don't know if I should use that term or not, but exciting scriptures. Malachi, that's about the last chapter before Matthew. And I know it's only one verse I quoted. We could read the entire book of Malachi, but there isn't time, really. Then I couldn't get in the others. So what was it? Oh, there it is. 4:2. Maybe I'll read more than that. For, you know, where it starts out, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. The proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." So those that are selling those stupid videos out there and that are making them, I think they would be included in the crowd of the wicked. All the adultery and the murder, the chainsaw stuff, and I can't believe it. And we can't believe it now. And the day comes, shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as like calves of the stall. And you'll tread down the wicked, and so on. And you can read that. Remember the Torah of now, right before the New Testament, and page, I'm on 1318. I go to page 1319, and it's going to be Matthew 1's. But right before that, he says, "Remember the law of Moses, or the law of Yahweh, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Horeb." For all Israel with the statutes and judgments. So even not only the Ten Commandments, but also the statutes and judgments. There you are. What does that have to do with fear? Well, I guess that if we're on the wrong side, we should fear Yahweh, shouldn't we? Oh, we should fear him anyway. Okay, there it is again. Isaiah 44. Okay, yeah. And then we'll move up to Matthew, I think. Isaiah 44. So we'll go back again. And we can start reading about anywhere there. We could just study Isaiah all day, all week, all month. And we could just keep reading that and Jeremiah and just to really get encouraged, really get excited about Yahweh if we just read even that. But we got to read more than that. Isaiah 44. Verse 6, thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. So, thus saith Yahweh, the King, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of armies. I am the first, and I am the last. The Aleph and the Tav, in Hebrew there. Beside me there is no mighty one. And verse 8, fear you not, neither be afraid. When you hear these conspiracy theories, the giant guillotines, the humongous internment camps. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You're even my witnesses. Is there a mighty one beside me? Yes, there is no mighty one. I have not any. They that make a graven image, or speaking of idolatry here, I think the most idolatrous thing is ourselves. We make ourselves an idol. But they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and they're, those SUVs, yes, the graven image. And they're, well, not all of them are bad, but they delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed. For who has formed an Elohim or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. Yes, we need to fear Yahweh. For, by fear comes the knowledge of Yahweh. We could read that from Proverbs and Psalms and so on about how good fear is. There is a good fear, a healthy good fear, that we need to, of course, bring the faith, bring on the word. Bring on more faith. But it first of all starts out by fearing Yahweh. Further, we go into Matthew 10:26. How about those conspiracy theories and so on? Shall we? We should be concerned about some of that. Whatever is truthful, I guess. Kind of be prepared. Know how to survive in the, eating good vegetables and so on. And how to dress game, perhaps. I don't know if I'm not going to get into it. That I really don't know that much about dressing animals and killing animals and so on. So if I can survive on vegetables, I'll be even healthier anyway. 10:26 of Matthew, 26-31. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in light, that you speak in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which murder the body, but are not able to murder the spirit. I changed that word there. It says soul, but I think it should be spirit. They're not able to murder the spirit, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both spirit and body in Hades. Or, what? Hades? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father's knowing. I inserted the word knowing, but without your father. But the very hairs of your head all are numbered. Fear you not, therefore. So when people start pushing that conspiracy stuff on us, and heads are going to roll, and the Harold Camping saying this date, and then he changed it to, is he still living? He changed it to 10/10/21 of 2011. And I don't know anything about it, but it's not going to be then. It won't happen then. The second coming will not happen. When Harold says it will, I feel fairly certain that it will not. But so he has this conspiracy theory and so on, and heads are going to roll, Mr. Rood said. Well, someday they will. Fear you not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. And whoever therefore shall confess me, the Messiah speaking, who confess him before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Praise Yahweh. So, strip away all that fear. Okay? Ephesians 5:21. If I did not cover Ephesians 5:21 yet, then I'm going to do it now. Let's see here. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yahweh. The most important part of that verse there is in the fear of Yahweh. We can't submit to everybody out there, or they'd be, this way and that. We'd be leaning the wrong ways, perhaps, if we just listened to anybody and everybody. We have to listen to what Yahweh is telling us through faith. What is faith? Faith is the word we read there in Romans 10:16 and 17. 1 Peter 2:17 now says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. And I thought we read this one, but Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give esteem to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and praise him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. He said with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give esteem to him. And there followed another messenger saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city. Well, Babylon is not fallen yet, as I walk out into the streets there and see, the way that some Christian ladies dress and so on, and yes, the spoiling of the culture, the media. So I guess we're through with the idea we're not through with the idea of fearing Yahweh. We're going to keep fearing him. But can we move on now? What about our culture here? What specifically can we do, or what different way could we think to help us in a confused culture of chaos? That would be the title of a sermon there for you, maybe. So I'm reading here from Samuel Bakayoko. You can find this on the internet on biblicalperspectives.com. And then you're going to get into the music section there. Rock, rhythm, and response. Everything in nature, including the human body, has rhythm. There is a rhythm to be the heartbeat, respiration, and speech. You can have kind of a rhythm as you talk along and have a little pentameter there as you talk. That would be different. People don't do that anymore, but they should. Scientists have discovered that even the brain functions with rhythm. Brain waves have frequencies influenced by physical and mental states. The same is true in music, where rhythm is organized into regular recurring beats. See, we're getting down to define what is music. We're not going to go into this real deeply, because there's not enough time. Rhythm in rock music. Rock music reverses the common order of the beat by placing emphasis on what is known as the offbeat. Christian music uses offbeat too, most of the time. In the offbeat, the main emphasis falls on beat 4, and the secondary beat is on beat 2. somebody would say, well, what difference does that make? He's Bakayoko's out of his head there. He's out of his tree or something. But now scientists have seriously been looking into this, and not just one, but many, many people using the instruments. And the first and most important defining and distinguishing characteristics of rock music is its driving, loud, relentless beat. The ability to receive and deliver the evangel, to pray discursively and to study scriptures are compromised by that beat. Even the most perfect of us are subject to these reversed beats, or what did he call it there, offbeat. We're subject to that. We, you know, wherever you go, in the grocery store, they're going to have it on. Maybe take along an MP3 player. It cost $14 here in 2011. And in the Northwest, the Bi-Mart store has those. Not to give anybody a plug or anything, but they have them there at different stores. There's other stores even cheaper. And you can load up gigabytes full of music or downloading sermons and so on. It's great. Psychiatrist Bell offers a graphic explanation of how rock beat causes addiction. This person must not even be a total believer because of his title there, but he says one of the most powerful releases of the fight-or-flight adrenaline high, well, broke my mouth on that one, is music, which is discordant in its beats or chords. Good music follows exact mathematical rules. Who did that? Who made the rules? Yeah, they did. Which causes the mind to feel comforted, encouraged, and safe. Musicians have found that when they go against these rules, the listener experiences an addictive high. Like unscrupulous diet doctors who addicted their clients to amphetamines to ensure their continued dependence, musicians know that discordant music sells. As in all addiction, victims become tolerant. The same music that once created a pleasant tingle of excitement no longer satisfies. The music must become more louder, more jarring and louder and more discordant. One starts with soft rock. Yes, the station that all can agree on. Soft rock, 103, right? Soft rock. Then rock and roll, then on up to heavy metal. And then we have the industrial and so on. And people have different interpretations of whether it's good or bad or immoral or amoral. The effect of the rock beat on the muscles, rock rhythm and sexual response in church music. The capacity of the rock beat to cause a sexual response is most important factor to be considered by those who wish to transform rock music into a fitting medium to Christian worship and evangelism. Changing the lyrics does not eliminate the effect of the rock beat. That's a fact, because its impact is physical, bypassing the master brain. In other words, the altering of the beat there is physical, and it bypasses your brain. Ultimately, the question is, should church music stimulate people physically or elevate them spiritually? And then the statement is made, rock music is felt, not heard. And then you have your crossover artists. And then he talks about melody, harmony, and rhythm. Rhythm responds to the body. Harmony responds to the mind, and melody responds to the spirit. And then you have your biblical principles of music, or scriptural principles there in that article. The defense for the use of deafening sound in the church service is that God does not really care about how we sound as long as we have a joyful noise unto him. And I've read this before on the radio program here, so I better move on, because I think we're about 50 minutes in. Let's see, 49 minutes, that's close. So go to biblicalperspectives.com, and you'll never go to intensive care. Yeah, that has a nice flavor on it. So, let's see here. Now, what have we got left to do? Faith, fear, and freedom. Yeah, talking about the getting away from, and a lot of this would be considered, that we've been covering here, would be considered by outsiders as extremists. We're some kind of an extremist religion or practicing hate crimes as we read these scripture verses. And I don't know, but they think that it's not only just a bunch of rules and silly, superfluous things that have no profit as far as they can see, but it's extremism, and it could cause serious problems in this world if we don't knock this off of reading the scripture verses and thinking so, being so heavenly minded that we'll be no earthly good. Where do they get that? That's not a scripture verse. That's a what's that guy's name? That evolutionist there? Oh, I don't know. It's probably better not to mention their names. I'll say Freud. That's probably where he got it from. You're no earthly good if you're so spiritually minded. That's what I was even told in church by one of the elders. And I didn't leave when he told me that because we'd already considered a bunch of other things. Where are we going here? Let's see. Oh, Zechariah 8. So I think it's enough about all of that for now. We can cover some of that material later. But I think could you and I both agree that society is shot as far as the culture is? There's some good things out there yet. There's high school bands playing good music. There's high school groups playing classical. There's talented women and young men in schools, grade schools, high schools, and some of you are very talented and are producing very good material for us to enjoy and kick back with. There's bad classical. But let's see, the statement was made about heavenly-minded, that Messiah said that what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own spirit? That should be a sobering thought here for the moment. What would it profit us if we gained, if somebody, and they've offered me a lot of money. In today's, in 2011, I guess that would be the equivalent of $3,500 a month or $4,000 a month or $4,000 US per month to compromise. And they'll still probably come along in the future and offer me that too. Zechariah chapter 8. We're talking about Jerusalem here. I don't have this particular one marked too well, so let me go to 9:9 and maybe I can pick that up later. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, or in other words, has right ruling, and he is having salvation. So that should be the word, having, the Hebrew word, Yasha, having salvation. I don't know, I can't look it up that quickly, but probably Yasha. Lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Also see 14, verse 3. Zechariah 9 now, verse 10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. Are you going to cut off the SUV? Hopefully. And the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, or bow. He shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render durable unto thee. He's speaking to us, to Ephraim. The burden of Yahweh in the hand of Hadrach and Damascus, the rest thereof, in Zechariah chapter 9. Malachi 2, 8 and 9. And Yahweh is going to proclaim his name among the heathen. And I think I better put this nice, clear, brand new version away because I got to have a mark. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, okay, I'll still stick with Malachi on YahweHyahweh.name. Malachi 2, 8 and 9. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. So he's speaking at today's priests, today's Protestant evangelifish. Not every one of them are bad, though. There are many that have many, many good points, and that doesn't just mean Sabbath keepers either. You are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, or Levi, saith Yahweh of armies. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been partial in the Torah. Yes, you believe in that murder is wrong, and stealing, and sometimes adultery. But how about the Sabbath? How about not dealing treacherously with your neighbor? How about helping the orphan and the widow, and so on? In some of those areas, we think that we should just kind of keep giving our money to the government and let them take care of it, and the synagogue or the church, well, we'll just sit back and let the government run the whole show. But Yahweh isn't asking us to do anything more and to go to all that work. It's been done for us. Social Security. I heard the other day that the number five country in the whole world that was guilty of corruption in the government, the number five country, is Canada. The U.S., number 22. That, according to Kevin Swanson, kevinswanson.com there. Malachi chapter 1. Well, that's a sobering thought, that things aren't looking that well for good old America, good old red, white, and blue here, that many of us men fought for old red, white, and blue. And mom's apple pie or something there. Which at least the pie is still good. Apple pie, I think, is pretty good. Yahweh says in Malachi 1, verse 3, "And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Verse 6, "A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, which is mine honor, and if I be a master, where is my fear, saith Yahweh of armies, unto you, O priests, priests that despise my name?" They not only his Torah, but they despise his name. And you say, "Wherein have we despised thy name?" Verse 7, 1:7, "You have offered polluted bread upon my altar." Verse 11, "For the rising of the sun, for from the rising of the sun," even the going down of the same, maybe that should be reversed there in the original. Perhaps it should be "from the going down of the sun." I don't know, but that's just what I think. "Shall my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered. My name shall be great among the heathen." So his name shall be great even among the heathen, not just the Gentiles, not just the true believers and so on, but his name is great, and it shall be proclaimed. Then the last verse there says, "But cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male and vows and offers unto Yahweh a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith Yahweh of armies, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Wow, there it is twice. Got to underline that. His name will be great among the heathen. He repeated that in Malachi chapter 1. And then 2, we did all of 2 there pretty much, yeah. We're stumbling at the law and partial in the law because they don't want to believe at all. You know, it must be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It must be according to Deuteronomy 8 and Matthew 4:4 that we are to, man is to live by not bread alone. You know, that's good. We should have good bread, but to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Oh, and that we should obey all of his Torah, including those regulations regarding dress for not only women, but for men. There's a lot of good rules in there. Well, what do you mean a lot? I mean, they're all good. Oh, okay. Well, by the way, somebody has been emailing me, a very, very close friend, in fact, my leader, is saying that he believes in the name of Yahweh, and that we have these 24 proofs, somewhere between, 24 and 29 different proofs so far that Yahweh is the true name. And that Yahweh has been conjectured and so on. I was laughing because of his spelling there. But anyway, that he goes on to say that therefore that he believes that Yahweh is a pagan name. Well, we can't confirm that. I haven't seen any evidence that it's a pagan name. Please, without any evidence, don't go out there telling others that those who use the W in Yahweh are using a pagan name. We don't know that for sure. We believe that Yahweh is right. From the Tetragrammaton, YHVH, that the V did come first, according to these documents. The Yahweh people have I had 6 references, including St. Joseph's Catechism or Encyclopedia or something. And there are probably more than that, I would think, you know. But what if they had more evidence than the V people? So I don't think we should go out there judging and saying that they're praising a heathen Elohim or something like that. Okay, let's be reasonable and logical and, thus saith Yahweh. So it has to be conclusive evidence. There has to be some sort of documentation, references given out of encyclopedias or something, and that they be very credible, and it has to be conclusive. And whatever we say, Yahweh's word is conclusive, but if we're using something that is not the scriptures, and, we're using the scriptures properly, but if we're using some historical document or encyclopedia or dictionary, better make sure that, first of all, the dictionary you're using is credible. It's not one of these silly newer encyclopedias that, for example, the one that said... That they didn't know where the word Easter came from, and then if you went back to one of their earlier releases, back around 1950, then it said that Easter came from Ashtoreth and so on, for Ashtarte and so on, but then later on they denied it. So if we're using a newer one, we've got to beware there if we're using newer references, because sometimes it's just from people who have been affected too much by the culture. And, they don't have the love for the word, apparently. They don't have it that we might have. And they wouldn't be called extremists. Those are normal people who write these things that go around saying that just about anything is permissible. You know, that they slept around the streets of Berkeley back in the 60s and let their hair grow too long and didn't use the underarm deodorant when, No, I don't... couldn't even judge them. I don't even know that there could be many people from the hippie days who have gone on with Yahweh and Yahweh's name and his Torah more than any of us, and have really striving to grow deeper into Yahweh with his word and to have that close relationship with him, to lift up separated hands that are not polluted at all by the world. They've been removed, made purified, been kodesh by Yahweh's word. They are a sweet incense, a praise offering to Yahweh. Let us be that. Let me strive to be at least as good as that person standing over there lifting up their hands to Yahweh. And, I can see a lot of shortcomings and lack of faith, just a lack of belief in Yahweh in times past, and as I examine myself, we all need more belief in Yahweh, and I don't think there's anybody out there who has 100% belief or faith in Yahweh. We need 100% of his word as well, which we're going to get if we keep studying here. So let's get around the old scriptures there and blow off the dust and open that up as often as possible there. I know the limitations of your workload, your 6-day a work week or whatever you have. Some people only have 4, I guess, but for the leisure time we have, and that's not leisure, that's time we're supposed to give to our family, to Yahweh, to ourselves, and take care of ourselves. Those 10 points, how much time do we have left? Can I cruise through the 10 points? The 10 points of health anyway, Dr. Day or Dr. Day. .com, which is not meant to give physician's advice. Well, certainly, because of the definition of the term physician is a necromancer, but not meant to give their kind of advice to others. But what are they? They're healthful nutrition, they're regular exercise, drinking lots of water. The big point there is 2 liters of water a day. Belief in Yahweh should be number one, and following out his Torah. Getting sunlight, at least 15 minutes. Temperance, no smoking or harmful substances. Fresh air. Remember, you've got to have that window open. Don't let them tell you that the air gives you cancer. No, you need to have the window open. Maybe not on Hollywood and Vine or something, but proper rest at night. Be to bed by 9:30 if you can, if you've got that regular, that kind of a day shift. Relief of stress by learning to trust Yahweh. The attitude of gratitude and thankfulness. Be rid of all grudges. And remember to be benevolent towards Yahweh's people, and then thereof as the priority goes out, even to the heathen. But first of all, take care of Yahweh's people. There's a priority system for that. Thanks for joining us here at YahvehYahweh.name. Drop us an email at StephanYahYahvehYahweh.name. Thanks a lot. Shalom.